Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lelic Group Annual Results 2019 conference call. I am Shari, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Roger van der Weijde, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to our conference call in connection with the 2019 financial results of Lelic Group, which we published earlier this morning. My name is Roger van der Weijde, CEO of Lelic Group, and I'm here on the phone together with our CFO, Alexis Rubinstein. It's our pleasure to have you all in our call. Thank you for taking the time for this conference in these challenging times marked by the coronavirus pandemic, and we hope you are all in good health. First of all, I would like to apologize that we had to postpone the publication of our results by just over a week. This was due to last-minute efforts in calculating and representing IFRS 16 effects and valuation of deferred tax assets in connection with the Swiss corporate tax reform. At least we had pre-announced some of our results earlier, as we felt we would like to go out as soon as possible due to the COVID-19 market turbulence. So you had already an indication, and as you have seen, our final results published today are in line with this pre-announcement. In the next minutes, we would like to walk you through our 2019 results slide presentation. And as you have seen, the presentation is available at the Lelic Group website, and we will go slide by slide. I will start with a brief summary of our 2019 performance. Then Alexis will provide more detailed overview of our 2019 financials, and I will then turn on to our priorities and outlook, in particular how we assess the current COVID-19 situation and what we are doing about it. After the presentation, of course, we will be happy to take your questions. So to start, let's go directly to page number 4 of the slide deck, where I would like to give you a quick overview of our financial performance in the past year. The first point to mention is that we achieved further growth in line with our financial guidance, while we significantly invested to further strengthen the base of our diversified business model. Sales were up by a moderate 5%, and in terms of growth, we were very pleased to see that our ultrasound segment again delivered a very strong performance, and also almost all of our perfume brands, as well as the Lelic crystal business, which had a positive development. On the other hand, our sales performance was impacted by a significant low result at Lelic Parfum in the Middle East, including, of course, the Iran embargo. In terms of profitability, let me point here to the EBIT of 1.4 million euro for the year. This is in line with our revised guidance from October 2019, and it reflects planned expenses for our business expansion in Asia, mainly China and Japan, and it also includes costs for the restructuring we did in the US, as well as one-off acquisition costs of the Scottish whiskey distillery The Glen Turret in an amount of 1.2 million euro. Looking back, let me also recap that we completed a rights issue in July 2019, which generated gross proceeds of 48 million Swiss francs that were used in part to refinance the Glen Turret whiskey distillery acquisition. And this brings me to the last point on this slide. And let me underscore this also in the current difficult economic environment. Despite our investments in 2019, our balance sheet remains strong with an equity ratio of 50% at the end of the year 2019, and we also have a solid liquidity position. Let's turn to page 5 now, where we summarize some highlights from the business in the past year. As I said, the first point to mention here is the acquisition of 50% of the Glen Turret whiskey distillery alongside Mr. Hans-Jörg Wies, who acquired the other 50%. Glen Turret being Scotland's oldest working distillery, and the transaction was completed just 1 year ago. With this step, we further expanded our portfolio and now address an even broader clientele in the international luxury goods market. Second, we are very pleased that we signed an exclusive perfume licensing agreement with the renowned luxury brand Brioni, and we are very much looking forward to launch the first Brioni scent later this year when the brand will celebrate its 75th anniversary. The third point to highlight is the expansion of our market presence in Asia, where we progressed as planned and where we opened a new boutique in Beijing and four new shopping shops in Japan. As already mentioned before, we also further strengthen our positioning in the sun protection market with the continued strong growth of Ultrasun as a leading brand in terms of product innovation. To conclude this overview, let me also point out the strategic investments by the India-based DS Group in Lally Group, as well as our partnership with our long-standing shareholder Hans-Jörg Wies on the Glentoret Distillery, whereby Mr. Wies also increased his stake in Lally Group in the course of last year's rights issue. And with this recap, let me now hand over to Alexi, who will give you a more detailed overview of our 2019 financial results.
Thank you, Roger. And also from my side, I would like to welcome you all to this conference call in order to look at our 2019 financials in more detail. Let's go to the slide 7. Here you can see an overview of key figures from our performance during the year. And I will just highlight a few items. The operating revenue has increased from 136.4 million to 143.5 million in 2019, plus 5.1%. This growth has been driven by the positive development of Lally Crystal and also the continued strong expansion of Ultrasun, as well as good performance of other perfume businesses. Partially offset by the decrease in Lalique perfume sales due to, as said by Roger, iron embargo and Middle East difficult market conditions. The personnel cost has been increased due to the further expansion of the business, in particular in the new operations that we set up in Japan, as well as the newly acquired Glentoret distillery. Operating cost has been significantly affected by the 1.2 million of acquisition costs related to the Glentoret transaction, as well as new boutiques openings in Asia. We had also this year some extraordinary costs in the U.S. in the context of the restructuration of our operation started from end of 2018 and ending after half year 2019. This increase in OPEX has been, however, compensated by IFRS 16 first application as of 1st January 2019, with the capitalization of the right of use of leased premises, which led to a shift between OPEX and amortization of respectively 7.7 million euro and 6.9 million euro. The consolidated EBIT, LLQ EBIT amounts to this 2019 to 1.4 million euro versus 6.1 million euro, affected by Glentoret transaction as well as expansion in Japan and restructuring costs in the US. But for a better understanding of this key result, let's go to the slide 8. Slide 8, on which you will see how would have been our EBIT and net profit at the comparable scope versus last year without the effect of at EBIT level. The Glentoret acquisition cost of 1.2 million euro, affecting our EBIT and net profit, and in the meantime, partially offset by the IFRS 16 a positive effect of respectively 0.8 million at EBIT level and 0.3 million at net profit. Consequently, our EBIT would have been at 1.8 million euro this year. What is not mentioned in this bridge is also on the top of it, the extraordinary income related to a legal proceeding in 2018 that had positively affected our 2018 EBIT by 2.4 million euro. At net profit level, we had a net positive impact this year related to the corporate income tax refund in Switzerland. In 2020, privileged tax regime at continental level has been abolished, generating an increase in deferred tax liabilities and expense this year of 2.1 million euro in our financials. However, we assessed the different methods proposed by the Swiss tax administration on how to transition from the mixed tax company status to the ordinary taxation, and we decided to apply a combination model of 5 years two-rate DSCF model and 5 years depreciation of a step-up. In this regard, this method will allow us to offset future profit with hidden reserves validated by this DSCF valuation for an amount of 5 million euro. So net impact on our financials this year is positive for 2.9 million euro, taking into consideration that as a comparison, 2018 financials have been as well positively impacted by the corporate tax reform in France for 1 million euro. Let's now turn to page 9 with an overview of the result breakdown by our business segments, which are Lalique, Ultrasen, Jaguar, Grey, as well as other brand segments. We will go through each segment in the slide that will follow. So let me just point out there that in our largest segment, Lalique, which represent 56% of the total group income, had a stable sales level this year, if we exclude the 2018 extraordinary income. Despite the decrease, the strong decrease, material decrease in perfume sales due to difficult market condition in, and issues in the Middle East. Also, we see here that growth in our largest, second largest segment, Ultrasound, was again very strong, with an increase in sales of 25.1% and an EBIT increase to 4.1 million. What is also interesting to see on this slide is the composition of the other brand segment, with Bentley, Samurai, perfume brands, but also Lalique Beauty Service, and now the whiskey distillery business, Glenturat. As the revenue share this year is still low at Glenturat, no specific segment has been created so far, but as this revenue will significantly grow over the next years, we will then create a new segment or division for this business. Let's move now to slide 10 to take a closer look at the Lalique segment and the drivers of the 2019 performance. So Lalique had solid sales trend in 2019 in most of the pillar, I must say all the pillar except perfume. So as said, excluding 2018 extraordinary income, sales are stable. Especially interior design and jewelry pillars had two single-digit growth this year, thanks to strong performance in areas like China mainland or Russia in particular. Our performance was good as well, thanks to successful launches for Eric Levy, but as well as Chinese artist collaboration Han Meilin. Hospitality business is still developing well in our two hotels, especially at Villa René Lalique. and Château-Orberg, with at Villa Reneralic very high satisfactory occupancy rate, and continued provider of constant source of positive media coverage. As said, perfume sales has materially decreased by 18% this year to the Iran embargo and market challenges in the distribution in the Middle East. This effect, combined with the setup losses in Japan and restructuring costs in the U.S., affected negatively our EBIT for this brand this year. With this, we can go to slide 11 with the ultrasound segment, which deliver a strong and broad-based growth supported by the mineral sports and fluid product range already launched in 2018 that allowed us to enter new channels like health store in all the markets. The strong increase in sales of 25% was driven by expansion in top three markets, well established, like UK, China, and Switzerland, as well as newer and smaller markets like Netherlands, Taiwan, and Korea. Despite a slight increase in personnel cost and OPEX this year, EBIT has increased to 4.1 million. In 2019, at a real high level of EBIT margin of 19% this year. On this basis, we continue to see ongoing two single-digit growth for ultrasound on a mid-term basis. Turning now to slide 12 and the Jaguar segment. So despite the market challenges in the Middle East already explained, the sales went up by 5%, reflecting growth in all markets, especially in Europe and North America. Also, the EBIT margin raised to 16%, thanks to the improved gross margin due to the optimization process of filling process in Uri, in our perfume filling factory in France. Same for Grey segment on slide 13, which we can see that we reported a pleasing rise of sales of 20%. This positive development with growth of 0.9 million was driven by a strong performance in Spain and Latin America, especially. The relaunch of Cabochar and the launch of Cabochar Chéri in May were the main drivers of this increase. So EBIT remained very satisfactory at 16%, exactly as Jaguar. Now turning to the slide 14, to the other brand segment on slide 14. Which, as said, includes a perfume brand, Bentley, Samurai, our perfume fillings and logistic operation, Lalique Beauty Service in France, and the newly acquired distillery, Glen Turret. Bentley performed very well this year, despite the distribution issues in the Middle East. On Samurai, and as Grey, new launches was satisfactory this year. Regarding Lalique Beauty Service, maybe one word regarding the fact that we have increased this logistic capacity in 2017 and then the production capacity in 2018 and 19. And as a consequence, the factory is now ready to produce up to 12 million perfume bottles, including the new license Brioni and the new launch plan in 2020. Glen Turret has been acquired as of end of March 2019 and shows EBIT loss of 1.8 million, including the 1.2 million euro of transaction cost. The new Glen Turret, including the refurbishment of the facility, new bottle design, new packaging and new product range will be relaunched by the end of 2020. The EBIT decline of this segment is entirely due to the Glentrian transaction cost and setup losses that has offsetted good performance of other perfume brand businesses. Now, to conclude this part, the financial part, let's go to the slide 15 and our balance sheet analysis. There were in 2019 three major effects that has materially affected our balance sheet. The first one was the Glentrian transaction as of 28 March 2019, which led to an increase in assets of 28 million euro, especially in inventories, whiskey inventories, and intangible for brand and goodwill. The transaction, this transaction has been pre-financed by a bridge loan of 24.5 million CHF from Silver Dance, repaid after the share capital increase for CHF 15 million in July. The second event was the share capital increase as of 10th July 2020, with gross proceeds of CHF 48 million. This capital increase allowed LLQ to refinance the Glentyret transaction, as well as increasing its net cash position and improving balance sheet equity ratio from 39.2% before the share capital increase as of half year to 50.1% as of year end 2019. Also, it's important to mention that it allows us also to improve our net debt EBITDA ratio from 3 last year to 2 as of end of 2019. The last event that impacted our balance sheet is obviously IFRS 16 application of this new standard led to an increase in fixed assets and financial liability respectively by 21 million euro for the assets and 23 million euro for liabilities in our balance sheet as of year end 2019. With this, I hand back to Roger for the third and last part of the presentation related to business priorities and outlook.
All right, thank you, Alexis. And to start this part, and before we actually come to the outlook section, which is of course heavily marked by the current COVID-19 situation, let's have a brief look at our product portfolio, of which you can see an overview on slide 17. We have shown you these graphics before, as they reflect our proven diversification strategy. So the graphic on the right side of the slide shows the three sectors or divisions of our business model. Lalique with its six brand pillars with 81 million euro in sales. Then beauty with Ultrasun and all other perfume brands, whether proprietary or under license, with euro 60 million sales. And the third being spirits, high-end spirits, with the Glentoret Scottish single malt brand with 2 million euro in sales for the year under review. Within the Lalique segment, growth in the interior design pillar was 25% and 13% in jewelry, while the fragrance pillar declined by 18%. The other pillars, decorative items, art and hospitality, were flat. Within the beauty division, Ultrasan reported an impressive growth of 25%, and the perfume brands also showed a positive development in mid to high single digit figures. And last, Glentoret sales of €2 million for the period for April to December 2019 were in line with expectations, considering that 2019 and the first half of 2020 are deemed a transition period with low-level A&P activities until the launch of the rebranded distillery and the new whiskey range, which unfortunately, due to the situation, had to be delayed from June this year to probably later in the year, Q3 or Q4. The date is not yet fixed. The graphic on the left side of the slide shows the revenue split by region. And as you can see, Europe remains the main market with 56% or more than half of global sales. Europe in this case includes Russia, that has shown a very solid growth over the past year, in particular for the Lalique segment. Asia continues to increase its share of global sales, while the Middle East declined due to the market conditions we encountered there, whereas the US market has been stable. Of course, we remain convinced that the diversification, both in terms of the broadness of our activities as well as the different positioning of our brands, is a key strength of Lalique Group, and particularly so in the current difficult economic situation. This now brings me to the next page, slide 18. On the left side, you can see how we currently assess the impact of the COVID-19 situation for our business, while on the right side, we summarize what measures we initiated to date with the aim to mitigate negative effects as far as possible. As far as our assessment is concerned, I need to stress out the unpredictability of the current crisis, which will of course depend on when the coronavirus pandemic will be under control. Lalique business has been severely hit from mid-March 2020 on, when lockdowns were decreed basically all over the world. And even after the end of the lockdown, we anticipate that markets will time to recover, although the pace will of course vary from industry to industry and also from region to region. On the measures we have undertaken to address the situation, of course, on the human side, we implemented health and safety measures at our sites to protect our employees. And on the financial side, we took comprehensive action to protect our profitability and preserve our liquidity, in particular through internal cost reductions combined with state support programs. With this in mind, let's turn to the next page, which summarizes our outlook given the current COVID-19 situation. Now, bearing in mind the unpredictability due to the lack of control over the pandemic, we are not in a position to provide an outlook for 2020, and our ability to forecast 2021 is impaired by the uncertainty regarding the pace of the economic recovery. Our financial guidance, midterm financial guidance, remains valid. However, we anticipate its achievement will be delayed by the time lost due to the crisis and its aftermath. As we continue to pursue our goals to enhance revenues and margin, our strategy remains unchanged. And on slide 20, which we have shown you before, you see our main initiatives and objects in the mid and longer term. Of course, the timing has become uncertain now due to the negative effects of the pandemic on economies worldwide, but the main objectives for each of our three divisions are still valid, and let me summarize them as follows. First, it's improving profitability of the Lalique segment while pursuing organic growth there. The second is to leverage our investments at the group's perfume production sites by increasing sales, with the biggest driver being new licenses. And thirdly, it's to develop the Glenturn brand to drive the whiskey sales according to the business plan. So to sum it up, we finish with page 21. 2019 was a year of heavy investments in the breadth of our business, with a performance in line with revised guidance, marked by moderate growth on the one hand and expansion costs on the other hand. 2020 severely impacted by COVID-19 crisis, with question marks behind the pace of economic recovery in 2021. And as said, Lally Group will pursue the implementation of its strategy. However, the achievement of the financial targets will be delayed. With this, I would like to thank you for your attention. And Alexis and I are now happy to take any questions. So, operator, please, who has the first question?
The first question comes from the line of Daniel Bürki, ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. My first question would be, which products on which distribution channels can you still sell at the moment? I could imagine maybe ultrasound or some perfumes. And the second one, in a full lockdown month like April, what kind of sales development do you see? I can imagine it's down double digit. If you could still give us some impression how bad the decline is at the moment. Thank you very much.
Grazie, Bürki. On your first question, we are selling all of our products, to make it short. Given that the markets in Asia, in particular China and Japan, are not under a governmental lockdown. Certain department stores have temporarily shut down in Japan, for instance, but there's no official lockdown. So we keep selling goods in those markets, whether on the Lalique sides, Crystal, etc., perfumes, as well as ultrasound. That's for the first part. Other than that, of course, all our retail shops, other than in Asia, being closed, we also see a significant decline in wholesale sales worldwide. Of course, our wholesalers, retail clients, having also had to shut down their operations, our wholesalers have no possible sellout these days. But nonetheless, there is some activities. And this is the reason why we didn't entirely shut down our factories, Lally Crystal and the perfume production, mainly to ensure that operations are ongoing in the logistics department, so we are able to ship goods to the extent possible. We of course also encountered some issues with forwarders and in the supply chains. I hope this answers your question. As to our sales levels, of course the drop is significant. It's double digit. The thing is that, of course, all the forecasts we had before became meaningless, since a lot of them were either cancelled for the time being and some others were simply delayed. And on the other hand, we see that some orders come in very, very rapidly. And then, of course, it is our goal and our task to be able to fulfill those orders as quickly as possible.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of René Weber from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Hi, Roger and Alexis. Also a question on the current situation, perhaps go into more details. So in total, you have 32 stores. How much of them are still closed? I guess most of the Asians are already open again. Can you give us a little bit of a feeling how, for example, the reopening of the China store has worked up until now? And then the second one, also going back on the production, you mentioned that it's not fully shut down. How much people are still working there, and is it possible to do some work on these factories in France?
Yes, hi René. We have currently 7 shops operating in China, Hong Kong and mainland China. And to be more precise, actually, they never close, even in China during the high noon period of the pandemic. There were no lockdowns, at least not in Shanghai and Beijing, where our shops are located. So, and those shops, I have to say, did surprisingly well, even during the crisis. I assume that this is, of course, partly due to our local team that did well, and also to the fact that our Lally clientele is some kind of insensitive to economic conjuncture. So, and of course, we until recently, all our shops in Japan were still operating, but last week, some department stores like Isetan and Meitetsu decided nonetheless to close. So as we speak today, we have 10 shops that are still open for business.
Okay, thank you for this. And regarding the production side in France?
Yes, so contrary to what has been said is there was no mandatory lockdown for industrial activities. So what we did is we nonetheless halted production from March 23rd until beginning of April. This was mainly to allow us to set up and implement all the necessary health and safety measures for our workers. As I said before, in reply to Mr. Burke's question, we kept the respective logistics departments operating to be able to ship goods without any interruptions. Now, since last week, we have resumed some production activities, even though at reduced level compared to pre-crisis. And in Wingen, at the Crystal factory, it's of course to keep up with our production planning to the best extent possible. We are of course preparing to launch some novelties, not a full-fledged new collection, but some selected novelties for fall-winter. And of course, we are also preparing to launch the spring-summer collection in next January at the Maison and Objet Show. At Lalique Beauty Services in Uri, we resumed production about 10 days ago in a first step to produce gel that we had several offers from department stores and other chains in France to supply them with the hygienic gel. And as of next week, we will also resume production of perfumes, however, only on the fully automated line, where we can work with fewer staff, fewer personnel, and therefore ensure that all the distance and other safety measures are fully safeguarded. And okay. as we go on now, we hear that most European countries are talking about a progressive lifting of the lockdown. So of course we right now we continue to observe the situation, but of course we will gradually start increasing production activities at both factories in the upcoming weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time. Sorry, we have a follow-up question from Daniel Burki. Please go ahead.
Yes, again, maybe regarding your cost structure, how much of your costs are really fixed, completely fixed? How much is variable? And with all the measures you're undertaking, let's say, how much of your costs you had 2019, let's say, in personnel and operating costs, you can take out of the system? And then, let's say you have a strong sales decline, what does it mean for your growth profit margin?
I don't have all the figures you're asking readily available, but in terms of personal expense, my estimate is that the furlough, Kurzarbeit, that we have introduced in all our sites worldwide will represent about 50 to 60% of our total personal expense. Again, the 30 to 40% that we still have on our active payroll, representing the people, the staff that we that are still working at the factories, and the staff that are working in the offices, mainly on wholesale sales. Of course, very reduced marketing, and so on. Our strategy was to avoid putting people 100% on furlough, except of course for the hotel, restaurants, and the shops which are closed, but to put the majority of the other staff on 80% furlough, in order to ensure a minimum level of reactivity in case of client requests and orders. Then in terms of other fixed costs, of course, we have asked all our landlords, whether for shops or offices, etc., for rental payment suspensions or partial rental waivers. Most landlords are very compromising given the situation, so this will also help reducing our expenses. And then of course we need to talk also about all the marketing projects, product development, launch, etc., that we have halted until further notice. Whereby there are two main projects that we keep going, and the first one being of course the preparation of the first Brioni launch, which is scheduled for Q4 this year, and of course the rebranding of Glenturret, combined, which the launch of which will be combined with the new whiskey range. As I said, we don't have a fixed date for this, but we anticipate it'll be sometimes during fall of this year.
Yeah, maybe on the gross profit. Sorry, on the gross profit margin in case of a sales decline.
Maybe on the gross profit margin, it's different for the two businesses. On the crystal side, it's true that a strong part of our costs are personnel expenses. But as said by Roger, definitely furlough in France help us definitely to adapt our costs to the reduced level of production. Hence, the rest of the costs are not fixed, it's variable costs. So if we manage to mitigate, to reduce the personal cost during this this crisis, hence it will mitigate, it compensate the reduction of gross profit in on the Lalique side. On the Persian side, it's a bit different, as really the main part of the production costs are components, such as Persian bottle, etc. And even if the personal cost will be also as well compensated by furlough in France, it won't affect that much our gross profit margin. I hope it answered the question.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Very helpful.
There are no more questions at this time. Gentlemen, would you like to conclude?
Yes, if there are no more questions, I guess that's what we should do.
Would you like to say any closing remarks?
Well, thank you. Thank you for everyone, for your patience again, and for your interest. We are, of course, in a challenging situation, but we're doing everything we can to look forward and to be ready to fight back whenever the economic conjuncture will allow us to do so. So thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you soon again.